Hello and welcome to another Tech Plus. It's Jan with you as well as Kane, unpacking this week's biggest tech stories as we get closer and closer to the end of September. Kane, hello. Did you see there's nothing left of the diary for the rest of the year, because technically December doesn't count, eh?
Not counting
so
that one.
We only have like a few days left of September, then we've got October, November, and that's it, hey?
Then at the end of the year.
And then look at what the year was.
I know. We've moved quickly this year, hey?
Just yeah, this year went really quickly.
I don't think I'm ready for 2024 yet.
No. Is the world ready for 2024? And technology-wise, what are we going to see in 2024, hey? Imagine if we had a crystal ball here.
I think if anything's ready for 2024, it's probably tech.
Yeah, I think Elon maybe.
And AI.
Yes.
AI already has the whole of 2024 and knows what it's doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, another great week in tech, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No, it's always great in
no
tech.
Such thing as a quiet week in tech. I think a few 10 years ago, you might have gone a week without any big tech announcements. But now, if you go a day without some kind of advancement in tech, the world's slowing down.
Yeah.
But it never quite slows down.
It never sleeps.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, we spoke about, and we'll kick it off with some Starlink news. So as we know, Starlink isn't available in South Africa, but
legally.
And some people actually acquired it. We actually spoke about that as well. And then the businesses that were actually providing it got like a cease and desist, basically. I wonder what happened to the people who had Starlink when their provider kind of shut down. They probably just stayed with Starlink because they just kind of sourced the installation material, which is essentially just a satellite, and then you pay your monthly to Starlink.
Yeah, because remember the Easter Cave, there was that ISP who got into trouble for selling Starlink to its customers.
Yes.
And they said, you know, you've got a month to switch it off. Did they really switch it off? And how do you know they did?
Yeah, well, I don't think they've switched off their internet. No, you wouldn't. I mean, if you're down 16,000 Rand for internet and you already have like a 2 year or 1 year, you know, 1,500 Rand a month service taken out, and you have faster internet than most connections in South Africa, in any part of South Africa, you're not gonna, no one in their right mind is gonna be like, nah, that's not
exactly
for me. Gonna go back to ADSL.
Yeah,
don't see that happening.
No.
So African telecommunications and network service provider Paratus Group has announced that they that it entered into an agreement to provide Starlink's internet services across the African continent. Not South Africa, specifically the whole of Africa. So this isn't a South Africa thing. South Africa is still very much out of bounds. The company said that the deal would allow it to offer Starlink to its customers across Africa as operating licenses are awarded to Starlink in those countries. Starlink recognizes Paratus Group as a key African distributor, which is what the company said. And they also went on to say that initially, and with immediate effect, Starlink will be available from Paratus in Mozambique, Kenya, Rwanda, and Nigeria before being rolled out to more countries. And if we take any bit of info that we've got previously, if you actually have residency in Mozambique, Kenya, Rwanda, or Nigeria, or you know someone who does have residency in one of those areas, it's very likely that they can actually source the materials for you and send it to you here in South Africa. But at your own risk, you know, at your own risk. You got to do what you got to do. And we also heard about Amazon's Caper project, which is essentially Amazon's internet service provider, possibly becoming available in South Africa end of 2023, start of 2024. So it's not like we're left completely in the dark in terms of satellite internet. But I was very surprised to learn that, you know, for 1,500 Rand, you can have, you know, Starlink internet in South Africa if you know the right hoops to jump through. Or for a similar price, you can have Amazon's Caper satellite internet. But I never quite realized how much more expensive it becomes when you take Starlink's satellite internet and you put it on your boat and you go into, you know, the ocean under maritime law. Because apparently then the price goes from 1,500 to about 40,000 Rand.
All of a sudden it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean,
we mentioned that before, hey?
That's like 30, 20x.
I was wondering, why is it more when you go on the water?
I don't know, hey. And one of our friends is currently traveling. He bought his own boat and things like
that. That's nice.
He went and worked on the yachts and saved up a lot of money and bought himself a boat and spent a year and a half fixing the boat up and then set sail. And he was trying to arrange.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching his Instagram and it just sounds like a great time, you know, like a long holiday. I think they even got a dog and now the dog lives on the boat as well. It's like a proper movie.
Some days I just feel like leaving all my responsibilities and doing something like that.
Except we would take a cardboard box and sail the seas with it.
So
he was looking to set up Starlink internet, and that's just kind of the pricing he was looking at. And all I can imagine is you probably have a higher concentration of satellites above a continent than above the ocean, so I imagine that it's more costly, I guess, to connect to those satellites. I don't know, but at the same time it might be a case that it's not inherently more expensive to operate because there are other satellite operators at that price range. So it would almost destroy competitors if Starlink came in, there's six competitors and they all cost $40,000 a month, for example, and here comes Starlink at $1,500.
Yeah.
That's death for those companies.
Definitely.
So you got to wonder what exactly happened there. But in speaking of things that have happened, Checkers just launched their unlimited 60-60 grocery subscription, which you actively get Checkers 60 and 60. What is your experience with
every
that
service? Bloody day almost.
Really? Do they have like a limited amount or are you just very forgetful?
Listen, I'm not joking when I say sometimes twice a day, hey? Yeah. I've got so many of those bags, I just actually give it back to the drivers because they take it and they recycle it.
No, you're joking.
I'm one of their biggest supporters, right? But also, even before the pandemic and stuff, I hate shopping, going into shopping places. And
really?
I don't like shopping, you know, like, nah.
I don't really think a lot of people would actually enjoy it. I think delivery services have really made it easy. And the fact that you can also shop just off your app.
Yeah.
Like you're buying off
really
the take
don't
a lot.
Enjoy shopping, like the whole process and even seeing people in the shop that you don't like, you know, that kind of stuff. So now you just sit at home, choose the products, push a button.
And it arrives.
It arrives.
And it's so easy.
In 60 minutes. It's too easy.
And all the stuff you forgot, you just do it again.
Yeah, just do it again.
It's just called providing service to
check. The drivers know me, of course.
First aid basis.
Yeah. But you also use it.
I've definitely used it. We're thinking about trying out Spar's one, because I believe Spar has one now
as
well.
And Woolies Dash.
Woolies Dash.
I haven't used Woolies Dash.
I'm very happy with Woolies Dash.
Okay, it's nice.
They're running a tight ship.
But Woolies is so fancy, you know. Like, you would expect them to arrive in a limo or something with your shopping.
Yeah, the other day they rocked up. It's funny you say that. Someone rocked up in like a Toyota Fortuner to drop off the Woolies Dash. So they definitely have some vehicles. For Checkers, their Extra Savings Plus is a 99 Rand monthly subscription offering unlimited 60-60 grocery delivery. So Ian,
okay,
this is for you.
Okay, making a note.
Okay, now we push for three a day. We can stress them out.
It's for all the loyal supporters, I guess.
You get extra in-store savings and you get some personalized deals.
I've already got a card with savings.
I wonder
so
what your
nice.
Deal would be. AI to determine what you need, what you most forget. It's automatically charged the card. So the retailer's awesome. Apparently been testing this with a couple of select customers since June. So if you were one of those customers, your exclusive access is now run out and the rest of us can have a chance. And the company's launch campaign spoofs the Mission Impossible movie franchise with a Tom Cruise lookalike ad. So if you see an ad, you're going to see, I mean, I'll show you a picture. It's like, there's like a normal shopping experience going on and off of like a wire from the ceiling pops down a Tom Cruise lookalike and I won't spoil anything else.
Actually quite clever with their marketing, eh? Because there was an ad also recently where they were making fun of the Springbok rugby team's jerseys that they were wearing because the colors were like totally 60-60 you know, based.
Clever.
Same colors. And then there was this guy and he was, you know, in the office and I think on his door he had like the title saying kit designer. And then this guy came in and he said, what's your inspiration for the Springboks New Jerseys? And then he's got all these Checkers 60-60 bags around him. And and then he's so also got to get, yeah, you know, just like really clever marketing. I like it.
I love advertising like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind that it's a Tom
That's
Cruise
memorable and advertising.
Not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
You know what it does make me wonder, though? I mean, AI video is getting so good. What's the difference between a Tom Cruise lookalike and an AI Tom Cruise lookalike?
Yeah, I suppose it's probably not legal, eh? Because he wouldn't say yes, or he would charge you to do that.
Well, would he say yes to a lookalike?
Yeah, I wonder.
You know what I mean? It's like a fine line.
Yeah, would he even know about it, you know?
And maybe you're allowed to do it as long as you say nothing about it being Tom Cruise.
Yeah, just don't say.
Like if someone looks around and they're not like, oh, hi, Tom Cruise, what are you doing
like
here?
It's open to interpretation. Yeah. So maybe it's not Tom Cruise. Maybe it's just a guy with dark hair.
Tim Cruise.
Maybe it's just some dude falling from the ceiling. I don't know.
Tim Bruce.
Yeah, some ripoff imposter.
That would be too funny. And then another strike of events. You cancelled, is that correct? You cancelled the Disney Plus subscription, right?
Only threatened to. I still have it.
You have it.
I threatened to because the price went up and I kind of just feel like I'm watching just all my old favorites every now and then that I have on
better off just buying
that
it.
I have on a USB or, you know, anyway. So like, what's the new stuff on it, especially movies? No new stuff really.
And
but
Netflix?
Then again, Netflix the same, eh? Going through Netflix the other day, just really boring.
So you've resubscribed to Netflix?
I'm sharing Netflix with somebody.
Oh, they got you back. You've fallen prey.
No, but I'm sharing. I'm not paying for that.
Oh, you're password sharing.
Yes, and I haven't been cut off. Can you believe it?
Viva la people.
Yeah. Do you still have any of these subscriptions going?
Yeah, well, funny enough, my Netflix subscription actually ran out. It just suddenly, there was no more Netflix subscription. So I guess I have to renew that.
How did it run out?
I don't know. Maybe it tried to charge the card and it didn't work. Maybe my card expired. I don't know.
I think the card expired.
But yeah, no more Netflix. So we have Disney Plus and Amazon Prime in it.
You're missing Netflix now that it's gone? You're not missing it, are you?
You know what? To be honest, I watched a show on Netflix, One Piece. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It's a real life action based on an anime. And I don't like anime at all. I've never really gotten into it. And it's probably why I don't watch it. It's not that it's not cool. It's just I've never gotten into it. But this in real life action shot was it's a really good show, you know.
When are we getting the new Squid Games? They keep saying it's coming.
You know.
I will definitely watch that.
Speaking of Squid Games, apparently, I mean, this is just word of mouth. But apparently there's a Netflix Squid Games coming out. Netflix actually recreated the Squid Game series without the higher stakes. No one's going to be dying. But apparently,
what?
They're coming out with
a reality show.
A reality show that's based off of the Squid Game
movie. I would
movie.
Really hope that people won't die.
Sure.
On it. Imagine.
So the amount of paperwork probably involves in that. Also, I don't want to take part in that. I like my life. I don't need that, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, a lookalike sounds quite fun, you know, especially with playing on the glass like that, where sometimes it just breaks. But if you had, you know, it would be nice.
Still get shivers from that scene, eh? That glass scene.
That was terrible.
That was just horrible.
So Disney Plus, that's apparently a new MultiChoice has again confused subscribers by automatically adding a free Disney Plus service to its customers' bills in September 2023.
Sneaky.
So through a partnership with Walt Disney Company, the pay TV broadcaster allows subscribers to add the video streaming service to their monthly DSTV bills instead of paying it directly using a bank card. They can also watch the service on the Explorer Ultra decoder on Streamer TV Box. However, the service is supposed to be completely optional. The latest issue was first brought to my broadband's attention by a forum member who recently received an SMS from Disney Plus stating that his phone number was linked to an account with the streaming service. He immediately suspected DSTV was to blame for the sign-up growth. Imagine if you just have such distrust in your cable company. He doesn't think it's a family member or anything. You just get an SMS, you have signed up to Disney Plus. It's like, that's got to be DSTV, surely. There's no way. So he suspected it was to blame for the sign-up and logged into the self-service portal to verify this. Sure enough, he noticed a DSTV Plus subscription had been bolted onto his account. After getting transferred to DSTV sales departments and being bombarded with offers for other add-on products, Talk about upselling.
Your desperation.
Customer service alleged he had added the subscription to his account himself. He denied this and was told the subscription could not be removed before his next billing cycle.
Oh, really?
Wow. And there's apparently a lot more complaints on Twitter. So maybe it's a technical issue.
Or somebody's taking chances because of lower financial income.
It's just
figures.
The part for me where he's like, I immediately suspected it was DSTV. Those guys. I would have thought family.
It is very sneaky, hey?
Yeah.
It is very sneaky.
It is very sneaky.
Especially if it happened to a few people.
And I can't imagine Disney would be happy with this, you know, unless it was considered, but you can't just start adding, increasing people's monthly costs.
We all know multi-choices position and even how they pushed up the restaurants and B&B's subscription rate.
Yeah, on the drop of a hat.
Yeah, just before the World Cup rugby, you know, so like people had like no choice. So there's quite a dodgy move, eh? The timing is...
You're telling me they had no choice, but isn't it multi-choice?
You are especially bright today, young man.
And on that note, it's time for a music break.
It sure is.
The story's the same, never changed, we've been here before. But it ends up being much more. And then we get insecure, build our walls, then we play pretend we don't care. No, it doesn't feel right when we fight, it gets us nowhere.
Welcome back to Tech Plus, as we unpack this week's biggest tech stories with myself, Jan, and also Kane. Kane, I don't know if you saw, Elon Musk was in the news again this week. He spoke to some interviewer and he said to him that he's considering charging for Twitter.
Oh.
Charging users for Twitter. There will be a small fee. He says it's his way of avoiding bots at having profiles, but... I'm thinking somebody's being greedy again.
Yeah, look, it's difficult. I mean, for someone who has a lot of money and a lot of money coming from other companies, it might not be a case of him being greedy, but it most certainly is. You know, I don't think for someone like him, and all with all due respect, I don't think someone like him looks at a $3, $5, $7, $1, you know, a 10, 100, 200 rand subscription monthly the same way that we do.
Yeah.
So for him, and truly, you know, there's a few ways that you can prove someone is a human being and not a duplicate account or a bot or something like that. And the first way is to get them to give you a phone number. Because it's very difficult to get a temporary phone number, right? So yeah. Getting someone's phone number is step number one. But just like any service high in demand, there are ways to spoof a phone number and pretend to be a human being. So when phone number doesn't work, the next thing you can do is you can ask for like KYC, know your customer, ID,
right?
ID and things like that. But IDs are not, you know, no one wants to give their ID. No one wants to give their passport. No one wants to do any of that kind of stuff. No one wants to give proof of residence either. And there also has to be someone to approve that proof of residence.
Yeah.
And just like anything, you know, if you don't have a birth certificate but you have an ID, you can give your ID in replacement of a birth certificate because you need a birth certificate to get an ID.
Okay. Right?
And if you have a passport but you don't have an ID, you can give a passport in the event that you need to give your ID because you need an ID to get a passport. Right, or unless you're under the age of 16, then you can get one with your birth certificate. So you need an ID and you need a proof of residence to get a bank account. So if you can charge someone's card, you prove that they have a number and they have a residency and they most likely have an ID and they're a real person. So charging someone's card monthly for a subscription actually would be one of the easiest ways to verify a human being.
Even if it's a small amount.
Even if it's a small amount. The argument actually should be, though, that you should only have to pay once because you don't need to keep proving that.
Yeah, you're right. Now, he's looking at a monthly subscription, but maybe it was just one of his, you know, ideas. Sometimes he says stuff and it doesn't happen.
Well, I always think about the time that Elon Musk got irritated that he didn't have as many impressions as, like, Richard Branson, who has one-tenth of the follower count.
Mm.
So he went to his technical team, and Elon Musk being Elon Musk said, let's increase how often I'm in someone's For You feed.
Yeah.
And they're like, sure, how much would you like? You know, a factor of two, would you like to 2x it, 3x it? He's like, 1,000x it.
Wow.
And let's increase it by a factor of 1,000. And then everybody just started seeing hundreds of his posts and they toned it down a bit. So I think in a lot of ways, he always tests the water. He's like, kind of throws something out there, sees how people react, and then decides based on that. And he can always go back and say, but I listen to what people say. You know, versus trying to spend months and months and months coming up with the perfect solution and then pitching it and people hate it anyways.
Now, you say people hate it and talking about updates that people don't like. Did you see the new WhatsApp update?
No.
So there you don't really update your WhatsApp. This is probably like forcing the update. Remember?
Yeah.
Years ago, you refused to update WhatsApp because you didn't want to...
Accept the privacy policy.
Yes, that's right. So what happened? Nothing even happened to that.
No, and I never actually ended up accepting it.
Maybe it just disappeared. Auto-accepted it for you.
Or I tried to answer a phone call and was like, ha-ha.
You agree.
You thought you could answer that. And we just put the okay button right by the answer button in a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
So that could have happened. But other than that, no, I never accepted it. And
okay, because you will see with the new WhatsApp update, it's now on iPhone and on Android. The status button, when you push that, you now, instead of just seeing all your status updates from all your people, your contacts, you also see these new feed updates for, you can follow Elon Musk, you can follow Twitter on there, you can follow Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, I saw see that, and it's like saying. Only big businesses that
yes,
can do it.
Huge, huge businesses. But the moment you click follow on any of those businesses popping up there as a suggestion, they take over 80% of that space in that feed. And then your contacts, where you would see all their statuses on the whole screen, all of them like a drop down, they now squashed up here into like a carousel, like this row thing that you have to scroll through, which is awful. So that was a massive complaint this week. People actually made TikTok videos on how to get rid of it. But I figured it out even before that. I would subscribe and then see it's horrible, then unsubscribe to whatever I subscribed to, and then somehow magically it went back to the way it was. And I hope it's going to stay that way.
That's crazy.
Because it's awful seeing, instead of seeing all the statuses, you know, just directly below each other with more space, they're all squashed up here, and you have to like swipe
and
through
all
there.
The real estate is taken up by some big corp.
Yeah.
Wow.
So not a good move, not a good update. You know, people absolutely bashed it this week. It's saying it's a horrible update.
I wonder if WhatsApp did it because it creates a bit of real estate for them to create revenue. Because they still yet to create revenue.
Geez, we just want to be on WhatsApp. Now this looks like a Facebook feed, eh?
I really wish I would pay for WhatsApp. Can I tell you why? Because how are they making money? I mean, at this point, they're being run at a loss because it's just run by Meta. So Meta owns WhatsApp. But realistically, they probably collect quite a sophisticated amount of data. That's usually how companies make up for no revenue services like WhatsApp, where the most expensive thing in the world is to keep up like a server, especially a server that's processing HD images. You know, we spoke about it last time. If you allow one person to send an image, but at twice the quality, you end up allowing the whole world to send twice the quality images, and you have to go through quite a lot of, you know, server type stuff. So yeah, that's very interesting. But talking about things that are also very interesting, we had Intel, which announced their latest updates to their processors. So
okay, that's cool.
Anybody who doesn't know, there's always some sort of term given to a particular generation of processors. And right now, the latest generation of Intel processors are 13th generation processors. And the new generation usually comes out every year. And with that new generation coming out, comes out a new standard for housing that processor, which usually requires you to get a new motherboard and other sorts of stuff. So we've just heard announcement of the Meteor Lake processors that will launch on December 14th. So for anyone that's a tech head or really likes to make sure they have really good tech or they like to follow it, that means the release of the 14th generation of Intel processors, which are being termed Intel Core Ultra. So anything that's 14th gen will be known as an Intel Core Ultra processors, and they will succeed the 13th gen Raptor Lake processors. So this is Meteor Lake replacing Raptor Lake, and this is kind of the nameology that they give these particular generations. And it will be the first chips built on the new Intel 4 process, and it's first with a dedicated I/O coprocessor inside, which means you're going to see a lot more AI utility coming out on the processor level, something to actually help the processor do its job and even interconnect probably with some sort of apps in some capacity and basically have a certain amount of processing power applicable to certain AI types of number crunching, which is very, very interesting. And then they also announced some other generations, the next generation that will come out in 2024, as well as 2025 and 2026, and they went over some other stuff. But one of the really impressive things that they came up with is they're releasing a processor that has a 1.8 nanometer space between the transistors, which for anyone that's wondering, if we get it, we've gotten better and better and better and better at manufacturing processes, and the way that it gets better and better is to reduce the amount of size between each of the switches inside of a processor. So it's just a process, just a whole bunch of yes and no's basically, and those are called transistors, and the less space between the transistors, the more transistors you can fit, the more processes your processor can do, right? So that gap now is 1.8 nanometers.
Wow.
Which is infinitely small. A few years ago, that limitation was about 8 nanometers and 4. Now 1.8. It is so small that the margin of error for manufacturing a processor is so high.
I can't imagine.
That whole processors are thrown away because they do not get manufactured correctly. So what does Intel do to solve this problem if they have a high rate of error in their manufacturing process? Because it's so small and because it's so very delicate, and they're printing all of this on a piece of silicone, right? They're printing circuitry on a piece of silicone, and then they're putting another piece of silicone on top of it, and they're printing another piece of circuitry, and that circuitry connects with the layer underneath. There's such a high margin of error that the ones they don't throw away are then tested. So they might say, okay, we're going to build a processor with 8 cores, and they manufacture 100,000 of them. But then they see, oh wow, these particular batch of processors, they're only efficiently running with 6 cores. And this batch of processors, they seem to only be running with 4 cores. The infrastructure is there for 8 cores, but only 4 operational because of the margin of error.
Yeah.
And that's how you get different grades of processors.
My word.
They are not manufactured for that grade. So your i3, i5, i7, those are, an i5 is the mistakes of the i9.
Wow.
And the i7 is the mistakes of the i9.
I never knew this.
So
is this general knowledge?
It's it's not really general knowledge, but it is something that is actively spoken about, and it does get a little bit more complicated because you can try manufacture a processor with four cores. It's not just magically going to have six, right? But in most cases, some of those processors that will tell you, like, this is a six-core processor or an eight-core processor, might infrastructurally have 12 cores on it, but four of them don't work because of the margin of error in the manufacturing process. So next time you go and buy an i5, just know you're getting an i7. It just doesn't work exactly properly. And that's just how they have factored in the margin of
error.
That's
really cool.
Because if they had to throw away every single process that wasn't manufactured properly, they would lose a lot more money.
They would definitely fire me, like, in the first 5 minutes because I have shaky hands.
So how interesting is that, eh?
It works so delicately, hey? That's so incredibly, that's like the best fact you've given us all year.
Yeah, right? You wouldn't expect it.
No.
You would think it's all part of the plan. It's just manufacturing
I thought it was all planned, you know?
No. Yeah. It's the margin of error in the manufacturing process. Gosh. And that's not even accounting the ones that don't work at all.
Yeah.
So it's not a perfect science.
So you don't get in trouble if you like make a mistake on one of those things.
It's all machined, so the machines just don't get it 100% right.
Oh, so it's all time. So you can blame the machines at least. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were like ladies sitting there.
1.8 nanometers, like one
sitting there with the magnifying glasses. You know? I don't know. I had this visual of a group of ladies sitting there.
To give you an idea, for every one millimeter. Right, for every 1 millimeter, there is 1 million nanometers.
Oh my word.
So when you're building a processor with the transistors 1.8 nanometers in between each other, no, it's man. One million.
Is that even visible?
It is. Your eye can't see that.
No
way.
No, I was gonna say now. How would you even see that? No.
One million.
How would you measure it though?
They use very specialized technology, but 1.8 nanometers when a million nanometers fit into 1 millimeter.
Talk about being precise, eh?
Precision.
Yeah, and that's precision. Error makes for sense. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
No, it's you can't avoid errors with that.
You start dealing with laws of physics that just aren't even. That's like you start diving into quantum physics.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, this is so cool.
You know, normal processors are processing with transistors, and quantum computers process with atoms. That's all you need to know. Very interesting, eh?
And on that mind-blowing note, let's go and listen to some music to cool off. The brain's so mind's blown.
Think that lump inside my throat will ever go away, go away. The tears are dried, but now the memories are always here to stay, here to stay. Did I not say enough, or was it all too much? With all these questions, huh? Did it feel good to run? Well, I'm glad you're having fun. But can I ask, did you want me to smile? Did you want me to laugh? Did you want me to feel like you were holding me back? When I gave you love, I never give myself. Did you want me to just shrug my shoulders and say, oh well? Cause you won't care now that you got someone to hold, someone to hold. So all that I can do is stop and stare and watch it all unfold. And did I not say enough, or was it all too much? With all these questions, huh? Did it feel good to run? Well, I'm glad you're having fun. But can I ask, did you want me to smile? Did you want me to laugh? Did you want me to feel like you were holding me back? When I gave you love, I never give myself. Did you want me to just shrug my shoulders and say,
and welcome back to the final stretch of this week's Tech Plus. And it's, of course, Jan with you as well as Kane. We have about 15 minutes or so left of this week's edition. And Kane's got some more tech news for us. Kane, what's next?
iPhone. The iPhone 15 is now out. We spoke about it last week.
I saw the memes about it. Like, what's new, you know? What's new about it? Like, there's this guy who's sitting in this shirt, and then he's got a brand new shirt, but it looks exactly like a new folded shirt, but it looks exactly like the one he's wearing. So the meme's kind of saying what it looks the same. What can it really do? What's different?
Absolutely. And the differences are never that great between iPhone model to iPhone model. There's always this like warm, like hearted kind of joking that people will do where they'll actually like create like satire humor where they make their own announcement of a new Apple product and they're like, it's exactly the same as the last one. And it really is pretty close. You know, you're not going to go from an iPhone 14 to an iPhone 15 and be like, I have such an improved phone. There's some differences to the processor, the battery. I mean, the camera can do a little bit of a better shot. You know, you got your basic betterments. Then there's also other ones like weight, because it's made with titanium, the pro versions, that reduces the weight by quite a lot. And we do have some more stuff about it. So the iPhone 15 comes out with a new charging setting. So Apple's new phones come with a setting to limit charging of the battery to 80%. It's an apparent response to the battery longevity complaints that it realized from the last iPhone 14 model. And what it actually does is it allows your phone, you can choose to only charge your phone to 80%. So 80% would be where it stops charging. And that would like increase the longevity of the phone.
To avoid it being a full cycle happening, because your battery is only good for so many cycles.
Exactly.
Okay, so that kind of is like almost a cycle, but it's not.
Exactly.
So eventually it adds up and you have like extra cycles left.
Exactly.
Right.
And with lithium ion batteries, sometimes the processor in charge of measuring how much battery is left gets a bit confused, especially if you don't charge your phone to full and then let it deplete and then you start charging it again. It gets kind of confused about what is 80%, what is 60%. It's unsure because the voltage of a lithium-ion battery doesn't change so significantly on depletion. So occasionally your phone will charge to 100%, even though it's on the 80% charge setting. Occasionally it's going to charge to 100% to reset how that lithium ion battery controller's understanding of how charged is this battery. So it kind of says, this is what 100% looks like. It's now definitely 100%. And it's like, okay, cool. As we deplete the battery, we can measure based on this by measuring overall consumption and doing some math and stuff like that. So that's one of the new features of the iPhone 15.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's not like game changing, but it's pretty interesting.
Can I do the same by just unplugging my phone when it gets to 80% when it charges?
You can absolutely do that. You just can't set it with software.
Yeah.
And then the titanium edges of the iPhone. So apparently people said that the titanium edges of the iPhone 15 can get discolored by the oils on your hands.
Whoa.
So you know, that is something to realize. But in Apple's supporting documentation, apparently all you need is to wipe the edges with a lint-free cloth to get things looking good again. So for anyone that's like, oh no, you know, I've got this new iPhone 15 and it's starting to look pretty discolored and that's concerning, lint-free cloth, like a microfiber cloth
that
doesn't leak fibers, and you just wipe it down apparently and there you go. And it's quite interesting because it's the oil in your hands reacting with the titanium, not inherently a stain. So the microfiber cloth obviously removes 100% of those oils and it restores that original finish.
Sounds very delicate.
It does for titanium, you know, but you're going to drop it and the titanium is going to hold. Don't know about the glass connected to the
titanium. It
almost sounds
like such a sensitive phone, my delicate little flower.
You turn it on with tweezers. Precision required. Yeah. You put the charging cable in with the most focus.
I would be so scared taking that phone out of my house, eh?
And with the new iPhone 15 comes the new Apple Watch Series 9. So anyone who knows or follows that, Apple Watch Series 8 was the latest release, now with the Apple Watch Series 9. The Apple Watch models released this year don't look any different from their predecessors, but they do come with some nice upgrades under the hood, namely a new chip, a couple new abilities that come along with it. And essentially the takeaway is, if you have Apple Watch Series 8, is it worth upgrading to Apple Watch Series 9? Considering the price, probably not. If you're about to buy an Apple Watch, though, it's going to be about the same price to get the Apple Watch Series 9 as it was costing for the previous model. So that's something to, you know, kind of keep in mind. Don't go shopping for earlier models if you're about to spend that kind of money, because that's how much it costs. And I think the Series 8 without cellular is 10,000 Rand, and the Series 8 with cellular is about 13,500 Rand, and you can expect the exact same price for the new Series 9 as well, which is quite nice. Nothing wrong with that. Get a little bit more features at the same kind of price. It kind of makes sense if you're about to buy, or you're going from a Watch Series 6 or something to one of the later models, which makes a lot of sense. Spotify code also. Someone dug into the Spotify code, and it suggests that there's a hi-fi tier coming with lossless audio for $20. What does that mean? Well, lossless audio is like high quality audio, like the highest of high quality audio that you can have. It's not compressed. It doesn't have any filters on it or anything like that. It's just lossless, as well as AI playlist mixing tools and more. So that could be something that we see coming out. It's going to be about 350 Rand, 400 Rand for it. So not the cheapest thing, but if you have like a $100,000 hi-fi system,
then at least you must be able to hear the difference, you know.
Nothing more frustrating than having the best sounding audio system, but you're not actually to be able to play off of Spotify at the best
quality
that the system can actually output if you put in a DVD or a Blu-ray audio track or something like that.
Or an actual good old-fashioned CD.
An old-fashioned CD.
That crisp sound that you just don't get when you have compressed audio.
No. And the other day I put on a pair of headphones that had bass boost.
Oh.
I'm trying to listen to that, and it was hard, eh?
I remember that pain on my bass ears. Boost. Remember, did you ever have a Walkman, or was that before your time?
A Walkman, like a walkie-talkie?
No, like a Walkman with the tape.
Oh, like a proper... Like you put the tape inside this little device.
You put the tape in, you close it, little box, and then you walk around with it with headphones. Did you ever have that, or was that before you?
I never owned one, but I have seen them.
Okay, because that one, the original Walkman... I had one. I wish I still had it, man. Anyway, so you would put your tape in, and then there was this button on the side called Bass Boost.
Ooh.
Man, that was the coolest thing ever.
Yo.
Like, you push that button and, ooh, yeah, all your cheap headphones. Oh, yeah, it sounds so good, man. That was a fat bass, eh?
Yo. Those things were cool, and I miss, you know what, something that I had but never appreciated but wish we had again was an iPod Shuffle.
I miss that as well.
That was so cool. It's like a phone that plays music without having to have all the parts of the phone, like no screen needed, no buttons needed, no big charge needed. It didn't have a display, but at the end of the day, you could clip it to your shirt. It was like even smaller than half the size of your palm. You could literally put 5 in your hand and close your hand. They were so small.
Yeah. When last did you see someone with one of those? I can't even remember.
Like, beyond more than 8 years ago, surely. It was long ago. I used to have one, and I used to think, it's not that cool. I mean, I can't even choose what song to play with the...
Yeah, no screen.
No.
So just like, listen.
But now,
now
every time I go for a run and I have my wireless headphones, I have to take my phone with me because it doesn't have the range.
Exactly.
And that's a bit annoying. You don't want to have to take your phone everywhere. Especially not in South Africa. It's like, I just got the new iPhone 15 and I got robbed the next day. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? Because I listened to music while I was jogging. I wanted to listen to music while I was jogging, so I lost my iPhone 15. I mean, that's just the...
And then the guy steals it and runs away, and then you go out of range, and then you lose your music as well.
You know what I would really have an appetite for is if someone would release a pair of Bluetooth headphones that don't have to necessarily be connected to a phone, that you could just preload tracks onto and then go for a run.
Yeah, why didn't they think of it?
Why can't that be a thing?
Just put, like, maybe there can be like a very small microchip inside that stores the audio.
It would be really nice.
Yeah, come on, that must be possible.
Yeah, and is the alternative really to like buy like a smartwatch or like an Apple Watch that costs 13,000 Rand and then buy a pair of Apple AirPods that also cost like 2,000 Rand.
Those things are priced.
Now you're down 15,000 Rand, and now you can run without a phone, but it's still like, a phone is like 15,000 Rand anyway. So is there no cost-effective solution here so that we could actually leave the house while listening to music without having to take our phone with us? There must be. Something for the next week's tech show, definitely.
I had a headphone set that you could, it had a built-in radio.
So you could literally pull out an antenna and there you go.
A small antenna on the side. You don't look very good wearing it. I mean, it goes over your head like this one. You look like a bit crazy. But it picks up the radio like a FM signal. you know, like you would listen to any radio station.
That's pretty cool.
So you can run with that, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you don't need any external source. You just listen. No wires or anything. It's just...
That's
built-in
nice.
Radio in your ears. Yeah.
Oh, that's still better.
As long as the signal is good.
You say you look a bit weird, but I mean, we even spoke about those headphones, literal headphones that come with an air purifier connected to it.
Yeah, that's gone a bit quiet, eh? Is that still around?
Well, you know, when there were some fires or something in New York and someone went out and tested it and it was like, said, like, the air's fine, you know? And they were like, no, that's yeah. when they kind of failed.
Okay, I think maybe that was the end of it, eh?
So here's some other quick bullet point news facts. Hyundai is offering free home chargers and install discounts for new EV buyers. And I did look around and I didn't see that's anything that specifically said this isn't available in South Africa. So this might be a very real thing that's available in South Africa. If you're buying a new Hyundai EV, or even if you're hiring one to own, you know, you're paying it off monthly, you've got some sort of bond going on it, or whatever the case may be, you should be able to get a free home charger, which for me has always been something that I already would have been concerned about. Like, okay, I'm buying this EV, but now do I have to get like a special charger at home? And I'm charging an EV, so is my house actually able to output enough power to charge my EV?
You know what I saw the other day?
What's
on Teason Island?
What's that?
Do you know there's an EV charger on Teason Island?
No.
Remember, do you know where the Nice Experience is? I think Key 4 used to be there.
Oh, the restaurant?
Yes.
Oh, it's there right outside the restaurant?
Right outside.
I think it's
I'm not sure if it's an Audi one.
It's just a single one, and I think it is an Audi one.
Yes, it's just a single one. It's like one thing, and then it's got two ports on
yes.
either side. So I said to my friend who was with me, I said, okay, so let's say you have an EV now, and you plug it in here. Where's the power coming from? Who's paying for that power? Is the poor restaurant paying for that power?
That's interesting. Maybe
where's that electricity coming from? And are you paying for it as well? Or are you just plugging it in there for free?
That's a great question. And you probably have to buy credit or something to it, or put in a bank card.
It almost looks like there's an interface to tap or put a card in. So let's say, okay, maybe it will charge you, but where's that electricity coming from? That's what I want to know.
And if I plug my phone in, will it just explode?
Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Wow, that's actually very interesting. I didn't even think about that, but very good point. I'm sure it's not for free. There must be a way.
No, it can't be.
Like, you've got to go into the restaurant and be like, I want to use the EV, and I don't know, actually. It's
a great
question.
How's the compensation working there? Because it didn't make sense to me.
Because it's easy to be like, I want to buy, 20 liters of petrol, thank you, put it in. But to be like, okay, would you like 1,000 watts?
Exactly.
1,000 watts? Like, how much power would you like?
It can't just come from anywhere.
Wow, that's a great question.
I'm still wondering about that. But anyway.
That's a great question. Then in some other news, remember MGM Resorts, we spoke about it, Vegas hotel chain.
Oh, yeah.
Got ransomware attacked.
Oh, yes, yes.
And all the rooms went offline. All the casino machines stopped working.
Hectic.
And like staff had to come help people get the money back out of the casino machines when they were done with them, because it wasn't automated. And the room keys didn't work anymore. So
and you said the plugs and the lights also went
nothing.
Off as well.
It's like powered down.
That's
completely
hectic.
Disabled.
Has it now been fixed?
Well, apparently they're normal again.
Okay.
But their website even if you go to their website, you can't actually book a room. So you're still incapable of booking a room. They give you a mobile number to call to make a booking. So they're not completely back up to speed. But apparently they basically have everything except for the online booking working, apparently. So it took them 10 days to recover from that.
That's hectic. Imagine all the money lost and the inconvenience
caused.
It
can't be good. And imagine how many times they paid the ransomware people. Because there's rumors that they paid $3 million right at the beginning.
And nothing happened.
It didn't get better. So either they paid more or they found a way to fix it and their website's not working. So I don't assume that they paid more and they actually came to the agreement.
Is there even a way around ransomware?
Well, you would expect the ransomware to magically work, but technically someone would have to have remote access or some connection to one of those computers to actually send the command to say, all right, you can relax now, or to put in a special password so they send the password. But also, what's stopping them? They don't have to do anything. So you can pay and then
what if you nothing. Just pull out the internet cable?
Too late. It's already installed on your device.
Oh, I see.
So if you got it on your computer, for example, you can connect your computer from the internet and everything. When you turn it on, it'll come up with a screen that
it's
asks
already,
you for a password to get into your actual
on
PC.
The system,
so there's no way in anymore.
Sure.
The best way is to just part ways with all your stuff.
If that had to happen,
not good. Not good. And people get away with it as well. And then in final news, two things. Facebook officially embraces fake profiles. So if you've ever wanted to have a profile on Facebook that's connected to your friends and family and another one that's connected to all your local communities and things like that, a way to keep, you know, your personal photos about yourself away from kind of communities and other groups that you might be engaged in and things like that. Or maybe you're a type of guy that likes to reach out to different Facebook businesses to ask them things. Maybe they're international service providers. Maybe they're design companies, website creators. Maybe they're development companies. Maybe you're trying to speak to your local coffee shop, or you're speaking to someone who offers an Airbnb or a B&B or a resort or something like that. You don't want them to be able to see your whole life and who you're dating and all this kind of stuff. Then now they're supporting those multi-profiles essentially.
Oh, that's nice. Well, some people have like hater profiles.
Yeah.
They use those profiles just to hate on people.
I know.
And so they kind of, that's not nice now, because that's kind of encouraging it as well.
Yeah, so they're doing that, but I like the fact that you can separate those two. I don't know if it'll be too much work to do it.
Mm.
And then Microsoft, you know, Bing.
Yes.
So Bing is now adding DALL-E 3, which is essentially an AI image generating tool. So expect the next time you search an image into Bing in the coming weeks, you're most likely going to start getting some AI generated images in your search results. Which
some more AI integration
has some questionable stuff, because you can't just go into Google and use any image for commercial purposes. But what happens if you search into Google and it generates an AI image, and then you want to put that AI image on a shirt? What is the commercial? Who owns the commercial rights to it? Is it me because I generated it? Or is it Bing because they facilitated the generation? So there's a few questions to ask there, and really consider before you use any of those images for commercial rights. This was made by AI. I must have full commercial ownership of it. Well, if you make a really popular shirt or something, someone's going to come asking for money eventually, unless it's specifically said otherwise. Hollywood's writer strikes seem to be coming to end. Apparently there's a meeting
at last
today that's going to be talking about
this. Went on for a really long time, eh?
Maybe we'll get a Stranger Things next season, who knows. And then finally, just back to the iPhone 15 for a second, we spoke about charging cycles and it's only charging to 80% to try and preserve those charging cycles. But you can't just lick your finger and put it in the air and be like, I have 2,000 charging cycles left. So it doesn't make any sense unless you can actually see how many charging cycles you have left. And that's one of the new features.
You can see
how many charging cycles you
on
have
the
left
battery.
On the battery. Exactly. Which is really, it's actually pretty cool.
How many would you even have on a brand new phone?
A lithium ion battery that powers your house has about 6,000 cycles if it's only 20% depleted, or 8,000 cycles if it's only 10% depleted. So I can imagine it probably has if you charge your phone once a day, I would imagine for the iPhone 14, a lot of people started reporting issues after the first year. So you would have an argument that there would probably be between 350 and 750 charging cycles for an iPhone 14. So I can imagine there's going to be between 350 and 750 for the iPhone 15. But because they're now creating this 80% fully charged scenario, you can probably expect it to maybe close to double. So maybe anywhere from 750 to 1,200 maybe cycles. That's just an estimate, but that's what I can assume. And also they were complaining that the batteries were dying after 1 year on the iPhone 14, so the cycles aren't done. So maybe we can add a little bit extra. Maybe we say between 500 and 1,200 cycles for the iPhone 14, and if you use the 80% charge, you would maybe expect between 800 and 2,000 cycles maybe, which is not bad. It's about two, three years. And if they do manage to hit that, who knows, that could be quite a long lasting battery. But cool that you can see the cycles and you can do some math.
And this new thing where it cuts off at 80% is really going to save a lot of it's really going to extend the battery life, hey?
Yeah, I imagine it would have been quite weird if they didn't do that and you couldn't see your cycles, because you're kind of just blindly trying to preserve your battery. It doesn't really feel like you're in control. So being able to see how many cycles is cool, but also if you're buying a second-hand iPhone.
Yeah, then you can see, oh man, this battery is really screwed.
There's three cycles left. Oh no!
Or minus something already, But listen, just in closing, when you're waiting for an Uber?
Yes.
You get all these random facts popping up on your screen.
And only when there's no drivers around.
Yeah.
It tries to entertain you.
Or they kind of, like there was nothing on the map. But it's also when drivers throw you around, you get thrown around the drivers. Who's the closest to you?
Everyone's declining you.
Yeah, sometimes, I try to not take it personally. So I was like capturing some of these facts because it's actually quite interesting this week.
Okay.
Did you know cheeseburgers are the most ordered item on Uber Eats?
Cheeseburgers.
Yebo.
Wow, that's interesting. And also kind of understandable.
Easter is one of the busiest days to ride with Uber in Europe for some reason.
Easter, that's an interesting one.
When Uber first launched in 2009, it was called Uber Cab.
Okay, so they dropped cab.
Yes.
I don't know that.
Drums, trombones, and ukuleles have all been reported as lost items.
In Ubers. How do you lose drums? Jeez.
Oh, your ukulele, man. Every week, 10 million plus people order with Uber Eats worldwide.
Wow.
That's the last one I have for you.
It's always those kind of stats that make
it's
crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like while you're waiting, getting thrown around, might as well enjoy some
facts.
Chappy facts.
Like you have to be home in 5 minutes, but here's an interesting fact to keep you entertained. But I'm always impressed because, you know, sometimes Uber can be a little bit buggy, or it can do something here, or it can fail, or it just has its little hiccups. And it's always like a big wake-up call when you're like, wow, you know, Uber processes like 21 million rides per day.
That's it.
So you're just one of 21 million, and you just happen to only have a few mistakes.
Yeah, true.
Across many drives.
What is your Uber rating?
I don't know. I'm scared to look. Probably like a 3 or something ridiculous.
Did you do something to make it go down?
I don't know.
I know that the drivers can even take that rating down if you slam their door too hard and they didn't like that. They can actually take down your...
Oh, I'm 4.99. Someone was upset with me.
No, that's great.
Oh,
mine's
really?
Mine's 4.87.
You see?
What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong.
You said something. I know you.
I must have. Maybe I did.
No, I'm just joking.
No, I think you're quite right, actually.
I just don't know how you can review someone paying you money to go from A to B badly, unless they're like... Because I've heard some seriously savage Uber stories. Like, they're someone picking up a drunk person and them just like... Because if you're a drunk person, you throw up in an Uber's car, you think like, oh, dude, you know, I was sick. Like, give me a break. That guy can't transport people after that.
True.
The car isn't like... isn't usable.
Like... What's the rating then?
Imagine,
zero.
Negative 10. It's like, how do I modestly start?
Yeah, but I didn't even do anything like that. I think one day I really closed an Uber's door really hard. And I was like, afterwards, like, ish. That was a little too hard. So I think maybe that was it.
Oh.
Got my rating down.
Oh, but I always like rate positively. And I try and always give a tip. Sometimes I'll give a tip that's the same value as the drive, especially if it was like a great trip.
Same, yeah.
And on that note, it's time to end.
On that note, it is time to end because Kane's Uber is here.
I'm late, that's why. Now I'm going to go from 4.99 to like 3.8.
I think, it's probably if they wait for you as well, they take down your rating, hey? Because time's money.
Must be.
A taxi.
Very, very interesting.
Cheers, man.
Cheers,
have a great weekend.
And to all of our listeners, thanks for listening and see you next week.
Absolutely. And for the Bokke playing tonight, go Bokke.
Hey.
Hey. Bye-bye.